This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series, brand new series today entitled Let's Be Clear. So on three, I know you got your mask, but you got to work with me. As loud as you can, I want you to say, let's be clear. One, two, three. Oh, y'all did great. That was amazing. Let's be clear. This series of lessons, which I'm excited about teaching, is all about pushing back the noise of this world, which wants to take us in the opposite direction of God and focusing on what really matters according to God's word. And so there's some things that God wants us clear about in his word, and there are going to be some different topics. And so today will be one topic. Next week will be another topic. And so it's not a series like, if you know, sometimes when you teach on Holy Spirit, it's all Holy Spirit, or giving, it's all. So these are going to be some different topics, but it's some things that God has put in my heart that I want to make sure that we understand that God wants us to be clear on. Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what class? Your reasonable service. In other words, it is the least that we can do after everything that Jesus has done for us on Calvary. Can I get a big amen? He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And so I'm transformed or I'm changed by the renewing of my mind. How do I renew my mind? With information and saturation. I get the information of the word of God, and then the saturation is I hear it over and over and over. I speak it over and over and over, and the word begins to transform me. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's saying, if you really want to be clear about what God's will for your life is, he says, don't listen, act, or become like the world. Rather, he wants you to fix your attention on God and what God is trying to do in your life. How many know that we got enough business of our own that we don't need to be in anybody else's business? Isn't that right? We got enough going on, and I don't know about you, I got enough going on in my own life. You got it? The lady would just tell me something just going on in the world, you know, not anything necessarily bad. And then, of course, if she tells me about a celebrity, I don't know who anybody is, you know, and I'll say, hey, I don't have time to think about that. You know, like, I got enough going on in my own life. You got it? So I don't have to get caught up in anybody else's drama, anybody else's business. Hello, somebody. Like I'm just trying to make sure I'm taking care of my own backyard and things are all right in my own life. Can I get a big amen, right? And so what the writer is saying is, if you do that, the enemy will pull you in different directions. But he says, if you fix your attention on God, then matter of fact, let me pick it up in the Message translation and it'll explain it to you. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, because God always helps you. He says, take your everyday, ordinary life. He says, your normal routine, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. He says, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, live your life in a way that is acceptable to God. That's what he says, because an offering is acceptable to God, right? So he's like, live your everyday life. We understand that you're not going to be perfect. We understand that you might have a rough day sometimes. We understand that you're going to get mad or you're going to get angry. So God is not saying be perfect, but he's saying in your everyday life, he says, what I want you to do, he says, I want you to place it before God as an offering. He says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You got it? And so you've got to understand that this culture we're living in now says you can do absolutely anything you know, want to do, and it's okay. And watch this. And watch this. While you should always love people, you should hate sin. Does that make sense? You never, ever hate a person. You never look down on a person because God is love. You got it. It's with loving kindness have I drawn you. And so if we're not careful, I think, you know, Christians can get that all messed up. They see somebody doing something that, you know, might not be, you know, according to the word. And you know, look at them. You're just, you know, just a nasty spirit, you know, just going down. Don't do that. Are you going to win them to Jesus like that? No, no. If you're more accepting, do you think there's a possibility of you winning them to Jesus? I think so. All right, I got one yes, but it's okay. He says, because I really think, you know, especially those of us that came up in the Holiness Church and in the Pentecostal Church, you know, and those kind of things, let's just be honest. We were really, really rough on people. You got it? I mean, you know, somebody pull up next to you with the woofers going on, you know, and the car is loud, you demons. You know, like, that ain't God's will. Am I right about it? All right. So you don't want to be like that. He says, but at the same time, he says, don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit in without thinking about it. In other words, there should be something about you. There should be a mark on you. There should be something that when people see you, they know, wait a minute, they're not like everybody else. All right? He says, instead, watch this class, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And that is how God changes us. All right. God does not change us from the outside in. God changes us from the inside out. You know, when I was a little boy, you know, somebody come off the street, they get saved, you know, and then the first thing people want to do is take them out and go get them in a suit, you know, so they could bring them back the next week. I'm not knocking that. All right. I'm not knocking. I get what they're trying to do. But then when that same person in the suit walks out and pulls out a cigarette and starts smoking on the church steps, you know, see, they ain't got nothing. They didn't get saved. No way. No, because what you don't understand is God changes us from the inside out, right? So when you first come to God, the first thing you need to experience is the love of God. And after you begin to experience the love of God, hello somebody, and his loving word, his word begins to change you from the inside out. It's not overnight, but it's over time. Does that, how do we know that, Pastor? Because God's still changing us from the inside out. God's still working on us. It might not necessarily be a sin issue. Hello, somebody. But God is still working on some of us. He's still working on our attitudes. Some of us, he's still working on not being so angry or not being so frustrated all the time. Or, you know, not, you know, we just got our own issue. I got issues. I sure got issues. You got it. You got issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. You got, so like everybody has issues. So let's just learn to love one another. Got it? He says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that he, watch this, what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. In other words, make the adjustment. Anytime I realize that I'm going a direction that God doesn't want me to go, and like I said, it doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong, and that's what we need to understand. You got it? I realize Holy Spirit wants me to go in another direction, I change immediately, right? He says, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Sounds like the culture we live in right now with everything going on. It says, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So this culture wants to tear us down, but God wants to build us up. So during this series, I'm going to help us be clear on what's really important to God. Everybody say, let's be clear. So today, the first topic that we're going to talk to, and I just thought this was a good place to start. There's some other ones that I can't wait to get to, but Holy Spirit's like, no, this is where you need to start. And so today's lesson that we need to be clear on, let's be clear that we need each other. All right. Let's be clear that we need each other. The Bible talks about the body and, you know, how you can't, you know, the foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, and those kind of things. We need each other. This, the enemy, Satan himself, has used the pandemic and some other things going on in the world to divide us, to tear us apart. Even Christians, even believers. You got Christians on this side of it and Christians on that side of it. I say, as your pastor, you stay out of all of it. Isn't that right? And we're going to love everybody on both sides. We're not going to fuss about anything. We're not going to post crazy stuff. Hello, somebody. But we are going to be the light. We're going to set the example and we're going to love one another. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so we need each other. And if you're not careful, you'll get mad at people and be like, I don't need them. No way. That's not true, because that's not what we find in the Word of God. We need each other. All right. And most people, if you really understand theology and you understand Scripture, the first problem in the Bible wasn't sin, because Satan didn't show up until Genesis 3. So you have Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God's making things. So the first problem isn't in the Bible wasn't sin. It was solitude. Genesis 2 and 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so we see that there's just this issue, that God says, no, this is not good. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for you to try to do life alone. It's not good for you to try to figure out things on your own. Hello, somebody. That is why, we have an amazing church, and we try to get you connected. And what happens is, if you notice, matter of fact, I was just talking about it a few minutes ago. I'm quite sure one of the brothers on the team is going to take Courtney's car, going to get the thing plugged up, and keep going. Right? Does that make sense? And so, and that's why being part of the dream team is so vitally important, because it's possible to come to this church and just sit somewhere, never meet anybody, and go out. You got the word, but you need connections. You got the word, but you need other people to help you, to build you up. You need relationships. Does that make sense? So the first problem in the Bible wasn't sin. It was solitude. And I don't know why people are trying to do life on their own. You got it? And then, of course, we have Pastor Pat, and we have our membership care team and those kind of things. We have different leaders that we've set in place, and, we've got mother and elder. We just got that so much that's set in place. So that's why we say, if you're going through something, if something happens, call the church. So that way we know that we can be praying for you, even if it's pastor that doesn't reach out to you, because, pastor can't reach out to everybody. We try our best to stay as connected to as many people as we can, but we got a whole team of people that are reaching out. But watch this. If we don't know, we don't know. Isn't that right? I mean this as respectfully as possible, but someone had I'm not sure if they emailed or called Ellen, and they were just a little upset, and they said, my spouse has been dealing with this, and no one from the church has done anything. And so now, Ellen's like, well, did anybody know about it? And we're all checking, like, no, we didn't know about it. And so when we actually checked with the spouse didn't tell us, but didn't happen to tell the other spouse that we didn't know. Does that make sense? And so my whole thing is, if we don't know, we don't know. But if you call the church, and a lot of times you'll come tell me after service, what I tell you, hey, make sure you go find Pastor Pat, because I don't want to charge it to my head, and forget about it. But if you go tell Pastor Pat, that is what he does. People is at the top of his list. He's going to write it down, and then after service this afternoon, he's going to email us. He's going to email Mother. She'll probably email the prayer team. And what we're going to do, we're going to start praying, pushing back the hand of darkness, and we're going to agree so God can do something amazing in your life. Does that make sense? We need each other. Don't do life alone. All right? Jesus, if I get to it, I was going to read to you some excerpts from John 13, 14, 15. And then this is where Jesus is having his last dinner or last supper with the guys, and he's talking to them. And then it goes into chapter 17, where he finally shows up at the Garden of Gethsemane before he's actually leaving. And he's talking to them. And so when Jesus gets there, there was a custom that someone would be at the door to wash your feet. And when they were at the door to wash your feet, it wasn't even like a ritual or anything as much as it was just customary, just to, hey, we're happy to have you. There were sandy roads, and so when they got there, their feet were real dirty and those kind of things. And so Jesus noticed that nobody was there at the door to wash anybody's feet. So he takes off his outer garment. The Bible says that just means his coat, right? And he gets down and he starts washing people's feet. And then Peter is like, no, Lord. He's like, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus, he says, wait, hold on. Unless I wash your feet, he says, you really don't have a part with me, or we can't partner together, or we cannot connect together. And so there's a connection when we serve one another. There's a connection when we check on one another. And you've got to understand that we need one another. The enemy is trying his best to keep us out from inside these four walls. He's trying to keep us outside and from inside these four walls, because he knows what happens when we get together. Does that make sense? I mean, the enemy, he loves the pandemic, y'all. Shutting down churches, he loves that. You understand? He wants to get people in fear so they won't come to church and those kind of things. And that is why we must live by faith regardless of what it looks like around us, right? And so as Jesus is having this conversation, and I'm going to give you as much as I can, but as Jesus is having this conversation, there's four specific things that he points out as you're reading this. And this is kind of what you need. I'm going to show you what you need as it relates to relationships, as it relates to us needing each other. All right, everybody say number one. Number one, I need people who would care for me. I need people who would care for me. If you're taking notes, you know, write this down. If you're online taking notes, make sure that you type this down. So number one, I need people who would care for me. John 13, 12 through 15. So Jesus is done washing feet now. He puts on his clothes, really talking about his outer garment. He says, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked him. He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. He says, I have set you an example that, watch this, that you should do as I have done for you. And so we need people to care for us. And so Jesus says, the best way for me to do it is to demonstrate it and me to set the example, and then everybody else follow my lead. You got it. And so if anybody knows me and Lady, we're going to check on people as much as we can. We're going to check on people. We're going to talk to people. We want to see how people are doing. We want to make sure everything's okay. And we hope, watch this now, that the example that we set goes to you all, and you all are doing the same thing with one another. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so Ecclesiastes, we're better together. Everybody say better together. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, it is better to have a partner than go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. Makes sense. If one falls down, what happens? The other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. You got it? And so here's my bullet on this, and I'm going to go to point number two. Keep the ones close to you informed of your care needs. Keep the ones close to you informed. I understand you're not going to tell everybody. Right. You got it. But you know, like the people close to you, they want to know. Think about it. If someone is close to you going through something, wouldn't you want to know what they're going through? So you could pray for them, so you could be there for them. You got it. Not so you can go tell everybody else their business. There may be a reason they don't tell everybody. All right. Number two, we see, that was verse in chapter 13. And there's a lot to bring out in 13, but that's what I wanted to bring out in 13. When we go to 14, we see that I need people who encourage me. I need people who encourage me. So Jesus is talking to them, and he sees that they're not feeling what he's saying. Because Jesus is like, I'm leaving. I'm going to send you another comforter. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to prepare a place. They are not like, they're like, no, Jesus, we like it the way it is right now. And so in John 14:1, he says, hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why did he say that? Because he saw what was going on. He's trying to encourage them. He said, hey, he said, you trust in God, you got to also trust in me. And so you've got to learn how, watch this, to watch this, to encourage others, but also accept encouragement. Why do we have such a hard time letting people do stuff for us? Why do we have a hard time accepting encouragement? Why do we have a hard time accepting praise? You got it? Ladies, why do y'all do this? Because most of y'all do it. You know, you come in church looking cute. You got it. And I don't mean that, you know, I mean seriously, you know, you did it today. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. You got that outfit or them shoes, and then watch this. Then somebody compliments you. Watch this. So you actually accomplish your goal. Right? And then you're, oh girl, this thing, oh, you lying, you just bought it last week. Allow people to encourage you. Allow people. Hello, somebody. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another. How often, class? Daily. He says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. So as long as the day is the day, encourage somebody, right? You know, just because they're happy and they're laughing and they look like everything's going their way doesn't mean that they don't need encouragement. Lady LaConte and I, we did Tiffany's wedding yesterday, beautiful wedding. And they asked me, instead of just walking out with the party, would you stay at the end and just dismiss everyone row by row? I'm like, oh yeah, whatever you need me to do. And so it was just good wedding and that kind of thing. And so a county commissioner from Pitt County came up to me afterwards. And he's like, listen, I'm not sure, you know, how much encouragement you get. You know, I know, you know, you came and did this. You might not know all these people, but I just want you to know that you did a really good job. You got it. I said, well, I appreciated that. Why? Because he didn't have to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so what happened is I accepted it. You got it. So I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Watch this. And it made me feel good that somebody thought I did a good job. you got it. Now, y'all know, at the end of the day, as long as the lady tells me I did good, I'm all right. You got it. You know, yeah, I did a great job. So I got in the car, and I told Lady Hannah, you know, we just getting in the car, right? I told Lady, I'm going to have to take a few more minutes. Y'all all right for a few more minutes? All right. I told Lady Hannah, I said, I don't know if y'all told me I did a good job. And Lady said, I told you it was a great wedding. I said, you said it was a great wedding. She said, no, if I say it's a great wedding, that means, you know, you did it, you know, from one point. I said, okay, I'm just checking, you know, because Big Daddy need encouragement too. You understand what I'm saying? Big Daddy need encouragement too. All right, here's my bullet point for number two. Exchange phone numbers and regularly check on one another. Watch this. I submit to you, even though we have a membership care team here at church, Pastor Pat is on it. He's got a long list. I submit to you, there should be a whole bunch of us that are daily checking on one another. Does that make sense? You know, if you get connected, especially if you get connected on Dream Team, because if you don't know people when you get connected to the Dream Team, I don't know everybody, but I know this group. You got it. And you swap phone numbers, check on one another. All right. So let's recap. Number one, I need people who will care for me. Number two, I need people who will encourage me. Here we go. Number three, here's a big one. I need people who will protect me. I need people who will protect me. John 16:1, Jesus says, all this I have told you, watch this now, so that you will not go astray. So it's interesting that word astray in the Greek comes from, I'm not going to pronounce it right, scandalaneous something, but really it comes from the word scandal or the root word scandal, right? And so Jesus is saying, I'm telling you these things so I can protect you so you don't go through anything crazy in life. Yeah, you don't go through a scandal or a bad situation. Ecclesiastes 4:12, I think everybody needs somebody who will protect them. Yeah. Isn't that right? Now, I mean, let me just ask you something. If somebody lies on you, you got it, and you have somebody close to you that knows the truth, I don't think you would mind if that person spoke and said, oh, man, that's not true. That's not his character. That's not her character. That's not who they are. Isn't that right? Yeah, you know, and so everybody wants someone to protect them, all right? You know, every wife wants a husband who's going to protect them. Right. I don't care if they say, oh, I'm okay. No, they ain't telling the truth. You got it. Every night, ladies like, did you set the alarm? No, I'm just playing. That was a joke, y'all. Y'all didn't laugh anyways. All right, okay. All right, praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. All right. Come here, Manuel. Come around this way and get behind me. Matter of fact, get over there. All right. So watch this. Can I see him? So I don't know if he's coming any closer or not. Did he stay where he's supposed to stay? Or is he coming closer? Does he have anything in his hand? Is he trying to hurt me? I don't know, though. Right? Because a person standing alone can be attacked, watch this, and defeated. Right? Right? Right. But two, come here, Jante. Now you stand behind me and just face him. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Oh, Lord. This is Michael, the warring angel. But two can stand back to back and conquer. So watch this. Watch this. He got my back, but I got his. If we're standing alone, watch this now. You don't know what's going to happen. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says three. Come here, Herb. Come here, Herb. I need everybody to see that cowboy gear. All right? So, Herb, you're going to stand this way, and you're going to face the musicians, courting them. So you're going to face. So now, watch this. So the Bible says a person standing alone can be attacked. He says what? But two standing back to back, he says they can conquer, but three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So now come walk around the circle, man. You ain't getting that way. You got it. you ain't getting this way. You got it? It don't matter. And if you come around, you ain't getting this way. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because two are better than one, and three are even better than two. All right, give them a big hand. Thank y'all very much. All right. Praise the Lord. Man, I got something to do with it. If not, I'd meet y'all at a Buffalo Wild Wings to see that game. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. So, I got to go. It's 10:21. All right. Let me get like three more minutes. All right. So I need someone who will protect me. All right. Let me go a little bit deeper with protect me. I need someone who is close to me, who loves me, who will protect me, who will ask me the hard questions. I need someone to ask me the hard questions. See, if I'm off doing something, you got it, that I'm not supposed to do, you got it. You know, if my best friend's Pastor Evan, y'all know that. If he's really my best friend, he needs to be, you know, he calls me James. You got it. Everybody calls me Mac, but he's like, no, you're my best friend, I'm gonna call you by your government name, James. And so watch this. I need him to be like, James, everything all right? Something going on? You got it. I need someone who will protect me if I'm heading down the wrong road to keep me from going down the wrong road. Does that make sense? You got it. I don't need you to cover me. I need you to protect me. When I say cover me, I'm talking about cover me doing bad. You got it. I need people who will ask hard questions. And so the leader of the Methodist Church, I mean, talking about years and years ago, he's the one that introduced small groups long time ago. And when he introduced small groups, he didn't want them just to come in groups. He wanted them to get close to like really know each other so that they could ask hard questions. You got it. And these questions are some of the ones from years ago, and I still think are good questions today. Even though most churches have changed these some, but asking questions like, have you been in a compromising situation this week? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? Have you viewed any sexually explicit material? Have you spent quality time in Bible study and prayer? Have you given priority time to your family? Or the next one, which is the biggest one, have you just lied to me? Yeah. So, but watch this. Watch this. If I really love somebody and I really want to protect them, if I see them going the wrong way, I'm going to go in that direction and pull them back. You got it? All right. Let's go home court. This is the last one. And so my bullet point for that is ask one another the hard questions. Ask one another the hard questions. All right. And then number four, the last one, I need people who will pray for me. I need people who will pray for me. I need somebody who's going to cover me in prayer, who's going to intercede for me, who's going to believe for me when I'm believing for something, who's going to uplift me when I'm a little bit down. I need somebody who's going to pray for me. John 17:1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. And notice what Jesus said. He says, I'm praying for them, the saints. He said, at this moment, I'm not praying for the world. Jesus was going to go take care of them on the cross in a little while. But he said, I'm praying for those you've given me. Ephesians 6:18 says, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. And how many know this is an ongoing warfare? He says, pray hard and pray long and pray for your brothers and sisters. My bullet point for this would be share prayer requests weekly and cover one another in prayer. So, like, let's stand for a minute. I asked them to play the song. Anybody know what this song is? What is this? I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's family. What's the next part? Stand with me. Agree with me. Come on. Go ahead if you know it. Does anybody know the song? Y'all know the song. Got it. All right. Grab the hand of the person that you're with, if you're close to them. If you don't mind grabbing hands, that's what I mean. If you don't want to, it's okay. I understand. Yes, God. So I want this to be the last day that you try to live life on your own. I want this to be the last day that you try to do it on your own. I want this to be the last day that you don't ask for prayer when you need it, that you don't ask for encouragement when you need it. Because sometimes somebody might not encourage you, but you can talk to your close friends and let them know, man, it's just been one of them days. You don't have to go start talking doubt and unbelief and all those kind of things. But if you're close enough to someone, say, ooh, child, it's been one of them days. That's all you got to say. That's enough. That's enough. And so, Father, I pray for those that are under the sound of my voice and those that are online. Father, we are clear on one thing, that we need each other. And so we will not allow the enemy to tear us apart. We will not allow the enemy to divide us over anything, over this pandemic, over masks, over vaccination. At the end of the day, none of that really matters. And so, Father, over political views, help us to be mature. Help us to be wise. Help us to quit posting anything unless it's lovely and true and of a good report. And so this is what I want you to do. I'm going to pray, but while I pray, I want you to pray. And I just want you to pray for the person next to you. And you don't have to pray loud if you don't want to. It's okay. I don't want to try to make you feel uncomfortable. Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You just have to open your mouth and start talking to God. God bless my neighbor. God increase my neighbor. God, open a door for my neighbor. God, heal my neighbor. God, my neighbor needs a special touch. I need you to help my neighbor today. I need favor to abound in my neighbor's life today. Father, I don't know what my neighbor might be going through, but you know what my neighbor might be going through. And so, Father, I ask you to just touch my neighbor and heal my neighbor and comfort my neighbor and strengthen my neighbor. Give my neighbor the wisdom that they need in the name of Jesus. Father, allow the Holy Spirit to help my neighbor today. I thank you that my neighbor is not leaving out of here the same way that they came. I thank you that my labor is strengthened with all might according to your glorious power. I thank you that my neighbor's best days are ahead. I thank you that you are answering my neighbor's prayer, that you're opening doors for my neighbor, that you're making ways for my neighbor, that you are lining things up for my neighbor. So, Father, right now, I'm not praying for me, oh Lord, but I'm praying for my neighbor. Keep my neighbor and protect my neighbor. And lift up my neighbor high, oh God. Father, do something supernatural in my neighbor's life just to encourage their faith. I declare a week of miracles for my neighbor. I declare a week of the supernatural for my neighbor. Father, I declare that I need my neighbor and my neighbor needs me. And from this day forward, we're not going to try to do life by ourselves, but we're going to pray for one another, and we're going to encourage one another, and we're going to protect one another, and we're going to care one another, because let's be clear, Lord, we need one another. And so do it for my neighbor, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. I won't fall out with my neighbor. If there was an ought that we had, it's over. It's done right now. I forgive my neighbor. We're moving forward. We don't even have to have another conversation about it. It's just done. It's squashed. We've nipped it in the bud. Father, I thank you. It's a brand new day and a brand new mercy. I thank you for what you're doing in my neighbor's life. You are about to blow my neighbor's mind. You're leaning in my neighbor's direction. You're working out everything for my neighbor's good. Give them that new house. Give them that new job. Give them that new career. Do it in my neighbor's life, oh God. Give them increase, oh God. Increase my neighbor's business in the name of Jesus. Do exceeding abundantly and above all you can ask or think in my neighbor's life, oh God. Do it for my neighbor. Shine bright in my neighbor. Oh, Father, I want my neighbor to cause you to look good in the earth realm, oh God. Oh, increase my neighbor. I declare blessings on blessings for my neighbor. I declare favor on top of favor for my neighbor. I declare increase on top of increase for my neighbor. Oh, God, I'm excited about what you're going to do in my neighbor's life. My neighbor better get ready, get ready, get ready, because it's about to be amazing. Oh, my God, I thank you for what you're doing. Right now, there's some things that are happening in the spirit realm that are going to manifest in the natural, because you're doing it for my neighbor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just thank you. I believe I receive on my neighbor's behalf. I intercede on my neighbor's behalf. I pray on my neighbor's behalf. I'm receiving it by faith for my neighbor. My neighbor's gonna call me, text me, see me this week, and tell me about your goodness in their lives. My neighbor would have fainted unless they had believed to see your goodness. And so, Father, thank you. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand your word, that we need each other. We thank you that this week is going to be our best week yet. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?